You all know I love you, right? You do. I do. I love being here. It gives me great joy to spend time at this church and to interact with you, everybody, newcomers, oldcomers, anyone. Maybe you didn't know I considered it an honor and a privilege to become a church member a year ago. Maybe I haven't yet told every single one of you that I feel blessed to have found a group of people who work so hard at growing a society of justice, peace, and harmony, a beloved community. And now you know. So you think that with all this fire in my heart about Unitarian Universalism and our community, and because the most transforming thing to have happened to me in the past year and a half or so has been finding you all, you'd think it would be easy for me to spread the message. No. You'd think, but it wouldn't be right. I have a story about that. Adam and Sarah have been our couple friends since about 1999. When we lived near each other in Vermont, we did everything together. We cooked together, we hung out, we went to Montreal, we watched movies, we watched endless hours of Star Trek The Next Generation together. Yeah. And we have a lot of happy memories. Then we moved, then they moved. And the thing is, the last time that I saw them was over 7 years ago. And Ed is luckier because he had to go to Vermont for work. He saw them about 5 years ago. So when Sarah posted on Facebook, because you know, everything happens on Facebook, right? That she was considering refereeing the National Men's Roller Derby Championship in Baldwin, Missouri, I said immediately, please come, spend a few more days. Come over, we'll hang. Though we do have visitors from time to time at my house, mostly my mom, there were a few moments of panic in preparation to hosting our friends, largely due to our small bathroom and the lack of a proper double bed, but we missed our friends. And seeing them easily outweighed anything, any small inconvenience. So after the initial panic, we got them in bed and we hung out, we went out. It was awesome to see them again. During their visit, there was five of us in the car coming back from the City Museum. And during a quiet moment, my daughter asks, Mommy, are we all going to church tomorrow? Silence. Again, she asks, Mommy, are we going to church tomorrow? Nothing. Children can be persistent, so eventually, the fifth time she asked me, I said, no, honey, tomorrow we're going to dim sum. During the lull in the conversation that obviously followed this exchange, I had time to feel ashamed for two opposite reasons at the same time. One reason was that I wish the topic of church had never been brought up. Despite wanting to catch up with them, it appears that at some point inside me, I had made the decision not to tell these particular friends how my life has changed in the past year and a half, how I'm happier and active in a community, all the things I told you at the beginning when I told you I love you. Nope, not gonna tell them. wasn't going to tell them. And the other thought was, but if they're my friends, if I have to have a relationship with them despite the unwieldy geography, despite the years that go by without me seeing them, if I'm still friends with them, how can I keep it from them? It's part of my life. Why not let them in on my secret? Well, the reason is that I'm afraid of rejection. Most of the friends I have outside of this community are at least suspicious, if not outright rejecting, of any structured religious practices. The mere mention of spirituality, of sitting in a sanctuary with nothing behind the wall, even if there's nothing, they don't want to do it. They'd rather not be it. And truth be told, I was like them a lot. I'm not like that anymore, maybe I never was, but I had adopted that stance. So I didn't want to tell them because I was afraid of being rejected. Because I didn't want to hear the answer to what answer they had to the question, if you know I've changed, will you still be my friend? Because if the answer to that question is no, then what? So a few days went by. And finally, minutes before they caught their plane back home, I told them, you know us. We're not fundamentalists. We're us. We go to the Unitarian Church, which is free of dogma, full of people like us, a church that is active in social justice, doesn't force beliefs down your throat. No, it's not a cult. Please still be our friends. I think that was my first elevator speech. This got me thinking, though. If I can't even bring myself to tell my dearest friends about my transformative experience, what's going to work with strangers? How do I spread the message? How do I find the courage to tell people what I believe? Does it have to be an elevator speech? Does it have to be longer? Can't I just wait for people to walk up to me and ask? And ultimately, to paraphrase the readings that we had previously, do I want to stay a pearl or do I want to become a seed? As I started putting my thoughts together to write this sermon, I happened to see a quote. The quote that is at the top of your order of service by Reverend Ellen Cooper Davis that says, radical hospitality is not simply welcoming all comers. It is willing to be changed by those who show up. When I first read it, it spoke to me, but I didn't understand why. At first I thought, it's because I volunteer for Saturday lunch a lot, and I see a lot of guests come through. But there was something else, something I needed to dig deeper to get. But let's start with my experience for Saturday lunch. The first time, it wasn't much of an experience. The first time I participated, it was shortly after I started coming to church regularly. I knew I wanted to contribute to these lunches that went on once a month, but I was afraid of showing up. I was afraid of actually seeing it. So I did what any normal person would do. I made an absurd amount of potato salad. I dropped it off and literally ran away. After the fact, after the lunch, I heard that everybody enjoyed my potato salad. Not just the guests. Some of the volunteers loved it too. So that made me curious. Did they eat together? What's that all about? So the month following my potato salad foray into Fourth Saturday lunch, I was still a bit afraid, but cautiously decided that I wanted to volunteer. And long story short, I do now every month try to participate to the lunches. I look forward to these lunches. And I didn't realize that this was transforming me. I noticed fairly recently about this, and I noticed because of Larry. Just as an aside, there are more than one Larry that are our guests of Fourth Saturday Lunch. But this Larry is a frequent guest. He's an older gentleman with a white ponytail. He works for the Salvation Army, at least he told me he does. He comes every time, and I just want to make an aside, because when I wrote this sermon, I hadn't been to lunch. We had a lunch yesterday, which, by the way, thank you all for contributing. And he didn't show up yesterday, so I'm a little concerned about him. But anyway, he's been really helpful. He's worked as a liaison between the other guests, and now sometimes when things get a little rowdy, he's helped us out. I don't know for certain that life has been wholly unkind to him. But I do know that given his current circumstances and the profound sadness you can see in his eyes, you can only assume that things are not well with him in general, and possibly they're not well in a way that I've never experienced personally. This past October, he came in for lunch late, which is atypical. He was very disheveled, and he tends to be very dignified and cheerful, and he calls everyone darling and everything. But not that day, a month ago. When the time came for us volunteer to get lunch, we feed the guests first and then we sit down. I made a point of sitting next to him at his table. I wanted to find out what was going on. I was concerned, still am. So for the first few minutes at the table, we just banter about the weather, the Cardinals, this and that. We're eating, jovially having conversation. And then, out of the clear blue October sky, Larry asks, "Darling, do you believe in Jesus?" "Me? What do you mean, Larry?" I felt a bit, more than a bit, guarded. I didn't know how to answer that. I was trying to figure out what's the right answer for him. What can I contribute to him? It wasn't about sharing my experience. But before I could say anything that could answer that question, he kept going. He kept asking, "Do you believe in heaven and hell? In Jesus, in the Bible? What does this church believe in?" Oh, not me. He's asking about this church. Great. At that moment, I had a choice to make. I could continue to talk about the Cardinals, the weather, lunch, or I could speak up and testify. I had the choice. I could continue being a pearl, protected, maybe imprisoned in my own shell, with no possibility for growth for myself and potentially for the congregation, because not talking about the church. Or I could be a seed and maybe start something, but I didn't know what. So I did. I just jumped in. I jumped in, and what followed was a discussion of my personal beliefs, but also of the fact that here at this church, at all Unitarian Universalist churches, you're free to choose your path to truth, whether or not your path includes heaven and hell or other. All are welcome. All are welcome. So soon, others at our table joined in. It was good. It engendered a conversation about the founders of the UU faith, about the poster in the Kate Worker room. We're sitting there. By the way, just about everybody knows who Ralph Waldo Emerson is. Good. We spoke of when services are at church. We spoke of coffee hour. And as the discussion continued, I was changing. I became transformed. The transformative thing that happened to me was that there was no longer us and them. That was people with the same needs, with the same spiritual needs. Everybody is the same. And finally, for the first time, I felt in my heart, not just in my mind, that there is always a point of spiritual connection with another human being. After having read it for so long, I finally experienced it. That was the transformation. To see it, though, I had to let go of expectations and let go of fear and jump in. Sow yourself with your own plow without turning away. This moment started small, but it has built up my courage to choose to answer on behalf of my faith. And radical hospitality is willing to be changed by those who show up. Opening the doors to the UU faith through testimony, not just food, that to me is radical hospitality. Allowing myself to be a support, not just for the basic physical need, but for the basic spiritual needs of people, is a transformative practice. But sowing myself requires opening my heart to others. It requires letting go of expectations. And it will mean having my pearl-like shield and my heart broken by this very act over and over again. It can be scary to let go of my pearlness. For what? What are the advantages of being a seed? Is there an upside? The seed metaphor. I went and looked. I'm sure that the seed metaphor is an old one. So I went and looked in the Bible, which is something I don't do all that often, if at all. But I found this. Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, Yet, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. I really like this image. This big old tree with a full of birds. It's like us, all leaning on our church family, helping and being helped by it. I know that not a lot of us believe in the kingdom of heaven out there somewhere. But I know that we're trying to build a better place here. If you are like me and believe that the beloved community, a community of peace and justice and truth and beauty, is an achievable goal, a heaven right here and now, then speaking about Unitarian Universalism, even in sound bites, is like sowing small mustard seeds that can grow. And that is the upside. The fact that by being a seed, one can grow one's faith and one's community. We UUs have a lot to offer to the world. Because the UU faith is based on the seven principle and not on belief, dogmatic belief, it is a great help, nourishing the souls of those of us who feel misguided, feel bad about ourselves, who are confused, who seek refuge, those of us with hungry souls. There are a lot of us there. I believe that sharing our faith right here and now is true missionary work. You don't need to go to a developing country, right here. Testify outside these doors. Show there is a different way. You may be feeling vulnerable while doing so, but do it anyway because it is needed. I know I want to do more of that because I haven't done enough. But I want to help grow a tree full of happy birds. And testifying doesn't come easy to me, but since the Larry episode last month, I've taken heart and spoken to more people about my faith. I've invited friends to come and join us here on Sunday to get involved. And I've been more open with what I post on Facebook. Don't laugh. And I even feel like I can talk about my church, my faith at work. I know, when comparing it to, you know, how other denominations testify or even other UUs, it might not be much, but it's a start. And the good thing for me is that I heard the call and I will continue to be a seed, letting go of expectation and sowing myself. In closing, I want to leave you with the words of Mary Oliver, who is so good at reminding me of this call. This poem is entitled, What I Have Learned So Far. Meditation is old and honorable, so why should I not sit every morning of my life on the hillside looking into the shining world? Because properly attended to, delight as well as havoc is suggestion. Can one be passionate about the just, the ideal, the sublime and the holy, and yet commit to no labor in its cause? I don't think so. All summations have a beginning, all effect has a story, all kindness begins with the sown seed, thought buds toward radiance. The gospel of light is the crossroads of indolence or action. Be ignited or be gone. Amen. So.